Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, and a very happy Mom's Day to all you ladies out there who are celebrating. And we've got lots of time to discuss your questions. 888-302-3684. You can start calling. We already have a couple of calls on our call board, and I'll answer them momentarily. Coming up in today's broadcast, we're going to talk about, the footwear, the minimalist footwear that they talk about, those little things you put on your feet that are kind of like slippers where you look a little bit like the abominable snowman because you can see the toes. We're going to talk about some new issues that have developed around minimalist footwear. Minimalist footwear may be a fad that has seen its day. 888-302-3684. We'll take your phone calls in just a moment. But before we do that, let me tell you about an interesting patient that I saw recently. And it's not so much what happened with the patient that is interesting. It's more about the context of it, which is really a commentary on our current medical system. The patient came to me a couple of years ago, probably a little less than 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, with ulcerative colitis. And she came from out of town. She actually flies in to see me. But, she likes coming to New York anyway, so she manages to accomplish some fun things while in New York. But when she came, she was in quite a lot of distress. She said that, every time that she went out of the house, she had to be thinking about where the next bathroom stop might be. And so traveling at first was a big problem for her. She also had to wear adult Depends, which is really a downer when you're 38 years old. Maybe later, very elderly, you've had prostate surgery, something like that, maybe that becomes a necessity. But at a young age, imagine trying to wear fashionable clothing while you have Depends underneath and, never knowing when you might experience an accident. That's the way a lot of people live in this country. There are nearly 2 million people who suffer from either Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis in America. And she'd been treated with a variety of medications, which didn't work for her ulcerative colitis. In fact, one of the medications that she used, a powerful immunosuppressant, made her hair start to fall out. She said it was falling out. Every time she brushed her hair, it would fall out in clumps. And so she's pretty unhappy about that. And so she came to see me, and we agreed that she would stay on her medication, but that she would begin taking the right kind of supplements, that she would follow a diet that we use for our patients with ulcerative colitis. The specific carbohydrate diet was originated by Elaine Gottschall. It's now very popular. And I wrote the introduction to her book, Breaking the Vicious Cycle, quite a few years back. So maybe that's how I came to her attention. She came to see me from afar, flying in from another city. And we began working with her. And then I worked with her over the phone. And I hadn't seen her in person in nearly 2 years. And she comes in and she said, I couldn't be happier. Well, I said, what's going on? She said, I don't have to think about where the next bathroom is going to be. This trip to New York has been great. I'm looking forward to having a great time. I'm meeting one of my girlfriends here. My kids are here. And I'm free to, and for some people, this is literally a miracle. We take it for granted, those of us who are not suffering from gastrointestinal problems, that it is a blessing to be free of gastrointestinal urgency and the need to scope out your entire day around where's the next bathroom or like how long does it take to leave the house in the morning. It may take literally hours before you're prepared to leave the house and you feel comfortable. And so she said, I couldn't be happier. I'm completely free of symptoms. And I said, I'm a little cautious about that because sometimes we alleviate symptoms, but sometimes there could still be inflammation. And the inflammation, while it's great to not have symptoms, the inflammation is still a concern because chronic inflammation over years can lead to precancerous changes and ultimately colon cancer. So we've got to be careful. And I said, are you on any medication? She said, I'm absolutely on no medication. I said, that's fabulous. You've been able to taper the medication. Over the course of several phone calls, we allowed her to taper some of her medication. She also said that she's able to get off steroids, which are making her fat and causing all kinds of problems, bloated, the typical facial appearance that you get when you're on steroid medication. And so I asked her, you know, what proof do we have that you actually have a reduction in inflammation? Maybe we should get a colonoscopy. And she pulled out a colonoscopy report and showed me what the report said. It was showed that she was completely free of disease, that there was no sign of inflammation. And I said, that's just phenomenal. But she said, you know, the most interesting thing about it, and so just something that I need to share with you, is she said, but what was very peculiar was the reaction of my doctor. And I said, what was the reaction of your doctor? Your doctor was probably happy that you were better. She said, he seemed annoyed. He said, what are you doing? Why are you off medication? And she said, well, you know, my symptoms have been alleviated with the program I've been on. And he said, what's this that you're taking? And one of the things that I prescribed for this young woman was low-dose naltrexone, which is kind of it's an off-label use of a currently available medication. The medication in its high dose, in its normal dose, is used for patients who are heroin addicts. And so when the doctor saw that, he blew up. He said, what in the heck is this crazy doctor doing, putting you on this drug for heroin addicts? You're not a heroin addict. Why are you on this medication? And she explained that it was a low dose on the medication and that this medication is sometimes used for autoimmune disease. And he got to look it up and find out about it. But he was angry. He was miffed. He was, instead of rejoicing in the fact that the patient was better. And oh, by the way, he reminded her that diet has no impact on this disease, that there's no proof, no scientific evidence that diet has any impact on ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, which is pretty counterintuitive, because if the plumber comes to your house and your toilet's clogged up, the first thing the plumber's going to ask is, hey, lady, what'd you throw in the toilet, right? But when it comes to gastrointestinal health, gastroenterologists, unfortunately, have tunnel vision, many of them. I mean, I appreciate that many of them are learning more about natural approaches to this and at least acknowledge the role that diet plays. But some dyed-in-the-wool, old-line physicians are just not willing to accept the role of diet. I recently read an article looking at reviewing therapies for acne. And in that article, it said there is no evidence that diet plays a role in acne. Well, that's absurd. Of course, there's a role that diet plays in acne. But it's still the entrenched belief of many orthodox physicians that diet does not play a role in the causation of many diseases. Perhaps heart disease, okay, we acknowledge cancer perhaps, but many diseases, no, there is no therapeutic diet for any disease other than perhaps a heart disease, high blood pressure, maybe cancer prevention, eat lots of fruits and vegetables. That's as far as it goes. So the patient said, look, I'm stuck. I'm in this not a very small town, but in a small metropolitan area where there's not a lot of choices about doctors. And I've got it. And I said, look, stay with your doctor, because at least this guy can monitor you, can do colonoscopies. And, you know, God forbid if you get in trouble, he's there for you. But he's not your advocate. And I think more and more physicians should be advocates for patients, whatever they try. Whether if they try natural medicine and it works, they should rejoice in it and not feel miffed because patients got better the wrong way. Whatever way patients get better. If my patients get better with surgery, with drugs, mazel tov. Great. Fantastic. I'm happy. If there are no consequences or side effects, I prefer if they responded to natural therapies. But I'm open-minded to the use of all forms of healing in treating various diseases. And I think that's the way it should be. So end of sermon on this interesting page. Anyway, she's very happy. And she's going to continue on the diet. The supplements we use for ulcerative colitis include such things as curcumin, boswellin. We use higher doses of vitamin D. We use specific types of probiotics that are well tolerated in patients with ulcerative colitis. And EGCG, potent extract of green tea, is helpful for the lining of the colon. So there are a wide variety of natural approaches that can be employed. And they really can work marvelously, and not just to as an accompaniment to conventional therapy, but sometimes completely obviating the need for medications in conditions like ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, which I like to see. I like a relatively high percentage of my patients have these problems. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. We wait your phone calls on this beautiful Mother's Day weekend. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, on a beautiful Mother's Day weekend. You know, one of the best-kept secrets about Intelligent Medicine is that if you are, like many of our listeners, listening via WOR in New York, and you get 1 hour of this program, it's actually a two-hour program, and you can listen to the program in its entirety via our podcasts, which we publish Monday mornings, or alternatively, next week, get ahead of the game, and you can listen online. You can listen to the first hour from noon to 1 p.m. via your computer or your mobile device. Just go to drhoffman.com, click on the listen button, and you'll get a link for listening live to our program. Also, our podcasts are listed there, and we do several podcasts every week that are not available on radio but are available via our website at drhoffman.com. We did a great one this week on something called MTHFR. MTHFR, it's a brilliant new paradigm in the field of nutrition, which looks at problems in folic acid and B vitamin metabolism. And if you've got a genetic mutation of the MTHFR family of genes, you could be in for trouble with ordinary B vitamins, even ordinary multivitamins, and you may need specialized B vitamins and specialized therapy to alleviate your problem, whether it's cardiovascular risk, even cancer risk, but more likely a subtle problem like fatigue or depression, mood disorder, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia. These are problems that can be unraveled via understanding the MTHFR system, and it's a whole new paradigm that is sweeping the world of nutrition. You can find out about it via our podcast at drhoffman.com. Lots of useful information there. All right, coming up, why avoiding sunshine could kill you. You know what these dermatologists have been telling us, stay out of the sun, slaver on all that SPF 50. Well, it's the law of unintended consequences. Avoiding sunshine could increase your risk of dying. But first, let's talk to Terry. Welcome.
Oh, good.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I have a son that is 16 years old and 9 months. He'll be 17 in August.
Yep.
And he's an athlete, runner.
Right.
And he is on the small side. I have my oldest son.
How tall is he?
About 5'4", and he weighs 125 pounds. I have a son that's 6 foot, an 18-year-old that is 6'4".
Wow.
And
that's
so
a real disparity there, yeah.
Yes, and he's very healthy, very athletic. My situation is he is very bright, and he discovered the idea of natural growth hormones, wants
right.
to go on it. I took the... the plate.
Well, it's actually not. It's actually not natural growth hormone. It's a synthetic growth hormone that
correct.
Is, you know, made up as a drug that's injected. Right.
And I wanted to hear your. I'm against it, truthfully, for all sorts of reasons. But I wanted, to, and not as intelligent as yours, but my instinct says no. But I want to hear what you think.
Okay. So here's the deal with that. These are medications that are used sometimes for anti-aging purposes. And, you know, of course, they've been really highly publicized in the world of sports because people have been suspended. You know, A-Rod got suspended, and Milwaukee Brewers player, what's his name? He also was suspended for the use of performance-enhancing drugs, including growth hormone. And, you know, there's lots of controversy. There's been an edict by the American Society of Endocrinologists against the use of growth hormone in adults merely for anti-aging purposes. And so that's controversial. There's some concern that that might increase the risk of cancer, although that's not conclusive because if it makes things grow, it might make cancer cells grow. But when it comes to kids, that actually is a proper indication for growth hormone because, let's face it, being short is a liability in society, and kids are all about appearance. And so if indeed there's the potential for increasing growth, then I say, okay. The problem is the growth is not that substantial. It may be on the average of 1.5 inches, 2 inches, sometimes more. That's not that much, but that could make a little bit of difference in terms of a kid's self-esteem. But another problem is that if it's used too late, after the growth plates in the bones close, these are called epiphyses, then it's not going to make any difference. It just, you know, it's not going to cause growth. So it has to be used at a critical time. And there's a whole question as to whether your son is a candidate even for this, whether he will respond. But, you know, in a kid, sometimes I get kids who are smaller or shorter patients bring in adolescents who may be, you know, girls who haven't started puberty, boys and girls who are short. And we look at underlying problems. We look at the possibility they may have some form of malabsorption, lack of certain key vitamins, vitamin D among them. And we also look for the possibility they might have an underlying celiac disease, because celiac disease actually can create growth retardation. And there's some people who don't have terrible gastrointestinal symptoms, but actually they do have underlying celiac disease, which causes them to malabsorb nutrients. And then as a result, they don't have the building blocks for adequate growth. So typically a patient with celiac disease may be thinner, though not always, or shorter if it hasn't been properly diagnosed. And that's something that we might check out on the way to, you know, eventually employing the drug if it's necessary. But I don't have a big, big problem with the drug as used appropriately under the guidance of a pediatric endocrinologist. And it might provide your son with additional growth and some self-esteem. And, you know, if he wants to be an athlete, that may be helpful in his, you know, budding athletic career. But it sounds like he's a pretty hearty little mini mite, and actually being a little lighter and smaller can sometimes help runners. Look at the young women runners who are like 5'4", weigh 120 pounds, and win marathons. It can really work to their advantage. Okay, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we invite your phone calls. We got several on the line. When we return, why avoiding sunshine could end up killing you. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but you don't need to become a statistic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'd like to share with you that one of the best ways that I found to support heart health is by taking Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Backed by more than 700 peer-reviewed studies, Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has also been shown to support healthy cholesterol levels and proper circulation. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is completely odorless and won't upset your stomach. Made from 100% organically grown garlic, I recommend taking Kyolic daily as part of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores nationwide.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. You know, there's one immutable law of science and medicine, which is the law of unintended consequences, where we're trying to do one thing and an unintended consequence arises. So here's the story. You know, dermatologists often tell patients, stay out of the sun or apply sunscreen. And they have actually underwritten campaigns, national campaigns, that warn people away from tanning parlors and tell people to cover themselves up. And there's even sort of an interlocking directorate between certain dermatological associations and the companies that make high SPF sunscreens. Well, here's a new study that should cast some doubt on that recommendation, because you may avoid one problem, skin cancer, which is a bad problem, no question. And, you know, some skin cancers are a nuisance and disfiguring, like basal cell and squamous cell, and some can kill you, like melanoma, although that's far less common. Why avoiding sunshine could kill you is the headline in the UK Telegraph. Women who never sunbathe during the summer are twice as likely to die than those who sunbathe every day, according to a major study. The study was performed at the Karolinska Institute in Sweden. And it claims the guidelines which advise people to stay out of the sun, unless wearing sunscreen, may be harming the population. Why is that? Well, vitamin D. Vitamin D production after sun exposure, very much associated with protection from a variety of diseases, not just bone fractures, but also cancer, heart disease, autoimmune diseases like multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, and even mood and mental conditions. Pretty big study. Followed 30,000 women over 20 years. Women who stayed out of the sun were at increased, this is interesting. I didn't know about this part until I read the fine print. It suggests that women who stay out of the sun are at increased risk of skin melanomas. You heard me right. Who stay out of the sun are at increased risk of skin melanomas and are twice as likely to die from any cause, including cancer. So, wow. It's thought that a lack of vitamin D may be to blame. And, you know, look, you have to be cautious with interpreting these studies because it may be that the women who stayed out of the sun are sicker, or perhaps they're very overweight, ashamed of their bodies, and they stay out of the sun. So those, you know, overweight women might be more likely to die anyway of cardiovascular disease or cancer. But when it comes to sun exposure, that was a significant variable in the risk of death. And you know that the dermatologists are going to push back. They're going to say, well, don't go in the sun, just take oral vitamin D. But there may be something special about producing vitamin D the natural way via sun exposure. So, you know, I always thought that this campaign, this jihad against the sun was ill-advised. And now we're seeing striking proof that there are unintended consequences of that campaign. All right, let's talk to Robert. Welcome.
Yes, Dr. Hoffman, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a friend that I just found out. You know, he's been complaining for about a year that he had a problem with his back. He went to a chiropractor. He's a veteran. He went to the VA hospital. They took X-rays.
Yeah, that often won't get you very far. According to the recent reports.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, I told him check an MRI. You know, it was a slow process. Long story short,
I have a feeling this ended badly.
Yes, he has a mass in his back. They mentioned a myeloma. He's the Yale New Haven center.
Yikes.
I just spoke to him today. I just found out about this, you know, and he's going to be 69 in July. I don't know if you can offer any help. They're not sure which way to go. They mentioned that they're going to try radiation to shrink it.
Right. The reason they're going to try radiation is because when it's that close to the spine and the spinal cord, they want to just zap the cancer because otherwise he might end up paralyzed. So that's emergency radiation to shrink the cancer. You know, the treatment for multiple myeloma, it's a condition which affects the bone marrow and the bones, and it's actually a slowly developing cancer. So he may have had this for a really long time. The treatment for it is pretty successful. It can really retard the progression of the disease. There's no cure for it, but now they're using a new drug called Velcade, which seems to slow down the process of, you know, the progression of the disease. I know many of our multiple myeloma patients have survived for many, many years, you know, even, you know, well over a decade. They're also, curiously, they're using something that was a terrible scourge in the 1960s, which is thalidomide. Thalidomide was a horrible drug. It was used for morning sickness in millions of women, and it created a high percentage of terrible birth defects with armless and limbless babies who are now adults, many of them walking around with that deformity from thalidomide. Well, thalidomide was thought to be, forget about it, let's close the book on that. But actually, it can be helpful in multiple myeloma, and its side effects are relatively mild. Now, you definitely shouldn't take it when you're pregnant, that's for sure, but it can actually slow the disease. You know, natural therapy supports treatment for that, and being on an excellent diet and perhaps taking certain nutrients, EGCG, which is a potent extract of green tea, sulforaphane glucosinolate, which is SGS in a product called Brocomax can be very helpful. It's a concentrate of cruciferous vegetables. And there are a variety of things. Certainly vitamin D plays a role in this. It's actually been shown that people who are vitamin D deficient have higher incidence of multiple myeloma. And besides, bone fractures are common in multiple myeloma patients, so you want to have a lot of vitamin D on board. And studies show that there's, in terms of the causation of this, that people who consume less fish, less cruciferous vegetables, and less greens have a higher incidence of multiple myeloma. And people who consume a lot of grain products let's put it this way. Did I say that right? That if you consume, what's good for it is consuming fish, consuming cruciferous vegetables, and consuming lots of greens. So that would be healthy for multiple myeloma. In terms of risk factors, dietary risk factors, lots of refined carbohydrates. And also there's an association, for some reason, with high consumption of certain dairy products. So, you know, from the standpoint of diet, I would recommend something like a paleo diet, a diet rich in fresh natural fruits and vegetables, organic meats, skip, you know, lots and lots of refined carbohydrates and perhaps dairy. And, you know, unfortunately, we'd have to use a combination of conventional medications to slow it down, the radiation to zap the cancer before it can attack the spinal cord and cause paralysis. And then, you know, I would use the conventional medication because they, you know, cancer is it's a condition where some of the chemo drugs are virtually ineffective, and some of them are a slam dunk and really knock out the cancer, you know, almost every time. Multiple myeloma is sort of an intermediate case where the drugs seem to be pretty satisfactory. They really haven't arrived at a curative therapy, but some of these drugs can actually really slow the disease down. So he's got a second chance at recovery. All right. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at Clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I guess the theme of this program, in the first hour, we talked about how aspirin for heart disease prevention has sort of crashed and burned, at least for people who haven't yet had a heart attack or stroke, and also about how the low-fat diet, that too was challenged recently in a series of studies. Now barefoot running or minimalist footwear is coming under fire. And the idea behind this, it was actually sort of set off by a book called Born to Run, which is it's a wonderful anthem to running by a guy named Christopher McDougall. And the runner who was featured in it El Caballo Blanco, the white horse, was a guy who was an amazing barefoot runner. And unfortunately, he died at a relatively young age after loping off into the desert one day. He never returned. And it was thought that his name is Micah True. And it was thought that he had some sort of heart attack or stroke in the course of running in the desert. But now it's gotten to the point where Vibram, which makes the Five Fingers running shoes, you know, they sort of make you look like the Yeti or the Abominable Snowman, you know, like big white feet that have individual toe enclosures and almost no soles. The idea being that humans used to run barefoot, and so it's actually better for your posture, for your knees, and your back to run barefoot. That was the notion. It was actually promulgated by a recent guest on my podcasts, Dr. Daniel Lieberman. He's a professor of human evolutionary biology at Harvard, and he did research on running that showed that paleo humans were used to running barefoot for many, many miles at a time, and they were relatively free of back problems and the kinds of injuries that plague modern runners. So this took off, and so they had the five-finger shoes, and they had the minimalist footwear, super light footwear. But now sales of these products are plunging. They've gone down 47% so far this year as people have tried them out, found them lacking. An example of which is Sharon Gibson, who's a personal trainer in Michigan. She bought a pair of ultra-minimalist Vibram five-finger shoes in 2012, and she used them, had a hard time adjusting to them, and developed more foot pain and injuries, as have many consumers. And there's even a class action suit underway. They've offered to, the manufacturer, Vibram, has offered to settle the suit, which contends that the company profited from unsubstantiated claims that the shoes strengthen muscles and prevent injury. So barefoot running may be going the way of the caveman towards extinction. You know, I personally, I can't see doing that. And it may be that if I'd started barefoot running early in life, I wouldn't have developed, you know, various types of foot soreness problems and injury problems that might be exacerbated by not having a lot of cushioning between me and the pavement. But it's, you know, this sounds like one of those fads that ultimately may bite the dust, according to the latest findings. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. We got a call from Maureen, who's right here in New York City. Hi, Maureen.
Oh, hi, Dr. Hoffman. I love your show.
Thank you.
I just wish you were on more often.
Well, you know, you got to listen to the podcast. You got to get with the program because I have a lot of broadcast hours. Just not on terrestrial radio. You know, you listen via WR and they only give you an hour, but you can get, you know, 5 or 6 hours of broadcasting every week if you go to drhoffman.com. Download the podcast. Listen to them on your computer, your iPad,
I'll
your iPhone.
A question. Is there a natural supplement to help lower blood pressure? I was on Norvasc, and it brought my pressure down to 144 over 70.
Right.
But my legs swelled up.
Well, Maureen, we're looking at the problem the wrong way here because, you know, we're looking to substitute a pharmaceutical pill with a health food store pill. And to some extent, that can work because there are some things that lower blood pressure. But really, when we deal with blood pressure, we have to take a very global approach to it. So, for example, what is your height and weight? Do you mind sharing?
I'm overweight, like 40 pounds.
Okay, bingo. So right there, you know, if we were to see you at the Hoffman Center, we would perform a glucose tolerance test with insulin. And it's very likely that with excess body weight, you have a overproduction of insulin, which will result in an activation of your sympathetic nervous system and causing high blood pressure. And if we can get that insulin down through weight loss, exercise, but also a low-carb diet, not only will you get thinner, and you'll also have less propensity to diabetes, heart disease, stroke, cancer, but you'll also, your blood pressure will come down. And
well,
so that
I'm waiting for a knee joint replacement, and I don't exercise at all now.
Okay, well, you could work with diet. So, but in terms of natural things to lower, let's discuss, you know, just for the sake of argument, the natural things that lower blood pressure. Pycnogenol lowers blood pressure. There's evidence that kyolic aged garlic extract can have a role in relaxing the endothelium, the lining of the blood vessels. Also, there's evidence that arginine can lower blood pressure, but the new think on that is that citrulline may be an even more effective way of lowering blood pressure by dilating the blood vessels. This is the nitric oxide principle that we often hear about in relationship to Viagra. That certainly dilates blood vessels in a certain part of the body, promoting sexual potency, but it will dilate blood vessels everywhere and thus lower blood pressure. But citrulline is the new player that I think is going to... Well, it may not supersede arginine, but in combination with arginine, it may help patients get a better effect taking less in the way of pills, because you have to take a lot of arginine to lower blood pressure.
Magnesium and
thank you.
Calcium?
Magnesium, yes. Calcium, to some extent. Some people are calcium responders, but magnesium absolutely lowers blood pressure. Magnesium taurate is a preferred form of it. Fish oil, omega-3 fish oil, can be very helpful at lowering blood pressure. And for some people, additional potassium can be helpful, although not for everyone. Some people need to avoid sodium, and for others, sodium doesn't make a difference. You know, there's a lot of different variations on the blood pressure theme. Vitamin D also may play a role in helping patients with hypertension. So, you know, you have to kind of take a look at what's going on with you in individualized therapy. But, you know, get that knee replacement, getting out there walking, but getting on a really nice low-carb diet like the salad and salmon diet that we advocated. drhoffman.com. Check it out. Download the diet. Follow it. I think that could be helpful. Well, thanks very much for joining us. And everybody out there, all you ladies, have a wonderful Mother's Day. And come back and join us again next week for our weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.